Welcome to Power to the People.
Hello and welcome to Power to the People, where we are celebrating Women's History Month for the Global Black Caucus. Our special guest today is Christina Skosgard. Hi, Christina.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us today.
It's nice to be here. I'm talking to you from Oslo.
Technology has a way of bringing us all together, just like for Women's History Month. You're the guest today that's speaking about Women's History Month, you know, for the Global Black Caucus. And since it's inclusive, you know, it's important that everyone feels a part of it.
You understand I am an older white woman. Black history in my high school training at that time. And one thing that until still to this day I have a little bit of difficulty understanding is why Black history is a myth. Why isn't it incorporated into all of our history?
Right.
Because, I mean, Black people contributed a lot. And that's, I just wanted to say that.
Right.
For me, I'm sure that many of these people would say, well, didn't she know about that woman? Didn't she know about this woman? I didn't. A lot of these women I didn't know about.
Right.
Some of them I did, but some of them I didn't.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that. For me, it was a learning experience.
Well,
I'm glad I've done this because I didn't know who Mary Brausser was or Madam Walker. I'd never heard of them.
Right.
So I'm glad I had the opportunity to have gotten to know them better.
Yeah, and we're glad also that you were able to be able to share these, you know, very intimate things with us as well, because a lot of people wouldn't admit that they weren't exposed to, for example, Black history or knowing about these people, you know, so that, you know, that it's worth mentioning also that it's recommendable also that you mentioned this. But, you know, this is something that happened within in American history. A lot of it was erased. If we speak about African Americans in American history or Native Americans in American history or women in history. We're just finding all these things out now. So it's good that we have all of these connections where you can start linking things together and we can share all this information right with each other. So that's the most important part as well.
Right. And take a look at the pages of some of the women as they come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some of them are...
Yeah, they're really nice. What you've put together is really good. And for those that don't know or who aren't aware of its importance, its value, what is Women's History Month?
It is to highlight the achievements of women and bring attention to the issues that are important for women's progress. Mm-hmm. You can say women's history is simply the study of the role that women have played in history and the growth of women's rights throughout recorded history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I see it as our ultimate goal is that we have full equality under the law for all people, not just women, but on Women's History Month, we focus on women. Yeah, and we feel here in Democrats Abroad that said we wanted full equality under the law for all people.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal can be better achieved by ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't even realize that the Equal Rights Amendment is not ratified.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of people. You have no idea how many people are so surprised because it was on the calendar quiz.
Mm.
And they're saying, it's not ratified? No, it's not ratified. So two of our caucus members have written a resolution, and we plan to present that resolution at the DA Global Meeting in Japan. So it becomes part of the Democratic platform.
Okay.
So... But your question also, you wanted to talk about a little bit about the history.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
First time that, at least one of the, in recent history, was in 1848, which is quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a first women's right convention held in Seneca Falls, New York. And this put out sort of the agenda for the equal rights movement. Then there was a Women's History Day in 1911. Then in more modern times, it got to be the school district in California participated in a Women's History Week. And wouldn't you know, it would be California. And they designated the week of March 8th to be the International Women's Day.
Okay.
And then in 1979, there was a 15-day conference held at St. Lawrence College. And this was co-sponsored by the Smithsonian and the Women's Action Alliance. And after that, in 1980, Jimmy Carter issued a presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 8th shall be National History Week. Okay. And then in 1987, Congress finally passed legislation that designated the month of March as Women's History Month. So that's been some time ago. And something I never realized that each year has a theme.
Okay.
And this year's theme is Nevertheless, She Persisted.
Okay. And is there, for example, for this theme this year, did they get this theme from someone or some particular
event? Nevertheless, She Persisted is from Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a comment that Mitch McConnell made because she kept talking and he made that remark about her. She just kept persisting. Nevertheless, she was persistent.
Yeah.
Kind of caught on. Here in Norway, I was at the commemoration of History Day yesterday, which was very big here
mm-hmm.
in Scandinavia because women are so much a part of the power structure in Norway.
Okay.
And their emphasis this year was on violence towards women.
Okay.
Which is semi-linked to the Me Too movement.
What is Women's History Month linked to?
I found that question a little bit hard because, I mean, I think women's history is linked to Human Rights 101.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are, after all, half of history. And so, Women's History Month is the history of mankind.
Okay. You were doing the research for the Global Black Caucus Facebook page for Women's History Month and trying to get out the word about these women that maybe people have never heard about. Which of the women that you researched spoke to you the most?
Well, I'm still on the other question.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, they were all so different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing is, a lot of these women, a lot of people might know because you've had Black history. I've never had Black history.
Well, it's still kind of a recent thing, Christina, as well, even for some of us. I mean, we might have some distance between us in age, but in knowing of a lot of these different things, it's about the same,
Well, basically about the only one on that list of the people I knew for sure, the older ones, was Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm, right.
And when we go back to human rights, most of the women that I did research supported more than one issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were activists that supported many issues, like Ida Wells. She was the first African-American journalist, newspaper editor, suffragette, sociologist, feminist, and an early leader in the civil rights movement. She's one of the founders of the NAACP in 1909. And she, like Rosa Parks, refused to get off the train, which she had purchased a first-class ticket in the ladies' car. And she, being Black, was not allowed to sit in the ladies' car. She took that to court and actually won the case.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Never heard about her case, right? I had heard about various other cases, but I had never heard of Ida B. Wells' case.
That decision, unfortunately, was overturned, but she continued to be an activist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm talking about. This is Human Rights 101. People don't give up. She published, then started, because of her activism, she decided to start publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got into publishing about lynching, and she felt that lynching was a way of controlling the Black population.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was very, very vehement about that.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal level, she never changed her name when she married. Well, that was quite something in those days. And
right.
She had four children, her and her husband together. And she did work less after her children were born, but she never stopped working completely.
Okay.
So she was quite a liberated woman for her time. There was another woman that I talked about who was one of the first physicians, although she was a white woman, Mary Walker, who also never changed her name when she got married. And she omitted the words to obey from her wedding vows.
Oh, ha, ha. Right.
And so did I.
Oh, there you go.
They were still in there in 1968 when I got married, believe it or not.
Okay, I believe it.
Because I thought, I know. I wonder if it still is today. I thought, what is that, to obey? I'm not going to, that's just so archaic.
It just seems, though, that throughout history, I guess maybe the only place where we still see where a man and woman will actually be side by side is in ancient Egyptian statues where you have the woman who's right next to the pharaoh, for example. She's not behind. She's right at his side.
Another example of a woman who I think you probably know about, Madam Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know about her. She was the first self-made millionaire, black or white woman. And I just thought it was so fascinating. I mean, she went from a shack to a chateau by creating hair products and empowering other women by having them go to door to door. So again, we're talking about people that became very politically active, were involved in human rights. And she used her money to aid political causes. You asked the question, why is Women's History Month important?
Yes.
The same thing again. We're half of history. Mm-hmm. We need to promote awareness and promote laws that protect women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live in a perfect world. It's actually implied in the Constitution and the Civil Rights Act in 1964 that you cannot be discriminated against based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. But that really hasn't been enough.
Right.
So that's why it's important, because even though it's implied in the Constitution, and even though we have certain laws that do imply that you cannot discriminate against someone because of their sex, it's still happening.
Absolutely. That's true.
It's not self-evident as it should be.
No, it isn't. And we see that now with the current administration as well, that it seems as if it's gotten worse, because we're hearing more and more about various things concerning the Me Too movement, even with Tarana Burke, who was actually the founder of this movement back in 2007. And it's really gained speed since the past year or so. I asked you to send me some names of songs, and one that popped up, that you said it was the first one that came to mind, was Tina Turner's We Don't Need Another Hero. Where does that come from?
Right.
Why did you choose that particular song, or why did that one pop up first?
Well, I like Tina Turner.
That's a good reason.
And I think it is true today. Again, the change has to come from within us, not from somebody else.
Okay.
Back to that theme again.
That's perfect. And that works.
Yeah, you do agree, though, that we, you know, the heroes lie within us.
Of course. Oh, you know, absolutely. That's something that I totally agree with, is that, you know, a lot of people have changed it from heroes to sheroes. But it is true that a lot of times we need to stop looking at external people to come and save and do various things, where we actually have the power to do those things, as it was shown by the women who you researched and shared with the audience today. So, yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, I would like to say the true change in America, the American society, will come from its citizens, not from government officials.
Oh, absolutely.
And I wonder when we looking for something we can rely on. There's got to be something better out there. Love and compassion, that day is coming.
Research played in turning things around in the U.S. and maybe even abroad?
That's kind of a difficult question to answer because they all had such very, very different stories.
Okay.
But they did have one very big thing in common, that they all seemed to have a burning determination.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In most cases, this came from the social injustices that they had to endure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we look at Harriet Tubman's life, she's not an unknown woman, but like you had mentioned before, what kind of a person goes through the agony of finally escaping slavery and then returns for 11 years?
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, that's just incredible gutsy.
All right, and she really felt convicted by what she was doing, and it seems like a lot of the women that you spoke about before, they all had convictions, and that was the biggest part, right?
And a burning determination to achieve their goals.
Right, absolutely.
Another one was Elizabeth Van Loo, who was born in 1818. She was a wealthy white woman, but she understood the tremendous injustice of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as her father died, she freed all of her slaves.
Okay.
And she used all of her money, her entire wealth, to go to the slave market and purchase slaves and free them.
Okay.
And in the meantime, one of her companions, who was Mary Brouser, she was a black woman, she had her educated and trained as a spy, because both of them became spies. And Mary actually became a spy in the household of Jefferson Davis. Because at that time, nobody believed that, and it was actually illegal for black women to know how to be able to read or write.
Right.
So nobody expected when she cleaned in the office of Jefferson Davis that she could find out any information.
Hmm.
And both of these two women provided, apparently, more espionage and information to the North than anybody else. So in the 90s, they were finally inducted into the United States Military Intelligence Corps Hall of Fame.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
And then I would just like to point out two other women who I'd like to talk about. those women saw also things that that they witnessed that were unjust. And, of course, in the case of Mary, who was born a slave, she also had to endure injustice. But when you witness something that's wrong, it can make you more passionate.
Absolutely.
Margaret Sanger, who we mostly all know about, was kind of the founder of what became Planned Parenthood. So I think it's important today because we're having so much being said against the Planned Parenthood organization.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman's background, I mean, she came from a family of 14 children, and she saw her mother die when she was 40 years old from tuberculosis and mm-hmm. just being completely worn out from bearing all these children.
Mm-hmm.
And she just thought that no woman can control her life unless she can control her body.
Right. That's exactly right.
Mm. And even to this day, she is, and she was not a proponent of abortion. Actually, she was not for abortion. She was a Catholic, but she felt that by having prevention, we could eliminate abortion, at least reduce it.
Right.
She'd also practiced as a nurse, and she saw the devastating results that occurred from botched up abortions and children that were left motherless. And to this day, she's still being criticized. Several Republican congressmen and senators had written to the Smithsonian as late as in the 90s and had requested that the a bust of her be removed because she was, this was long after she was dead, that because she had promoted genocide because she put so many of her clinics in black neighborhoods. So, I mean, it's just insane sometimes what people are accused of.
Absolutely.
But on a more personal note, if I'm going to talk about somebody in modern times, I would say that the person that kind of rang the most for me was Diane Nash. She was born in 1938, and she's still living in Chicago, as far as I know. And her story has an ever so slight similarity with my relationship or awakening to civil rights.
Okay.
She grew up in Chicago and didn't feel the same type of discrimination, even though she was discriminated against. She did, I've listened to a couple of her videos, but she didn't feel the overt discrimination until she entered Fisk University in Nashville. She had previously gone to Howard University.
Okay.
And when she got to Fisk University, she witnessed the same thing I had witnessed, as I had told you once before.
Exactly.
In Little Rock, Arkansas, when I was a child in the mid-50s, when I saw what oppression the black people were forced to live under,
mm-hmm.
in almost slave-like conditions.
Right.
And, of course, she got infuriated by this and became part of the Freedom Riders. And in another video that I was listening to, Robert Kennedy had her call, had his secretary call her and say, you know, please don't go out there tonight. Please don't go out there tonight because you know you can be killed. And her answer was, don't worry about it. Last night, we all made our wills.
Ah, right.
The motivation of these people.
Right.
And the guts.
Yeah, but you know, the idea is that without their sacrifices, a lot of us would not be here today.
That's right.
That's what we say when we say when we're standing, that we're standing on the shoulders of giants. It's not
mm-hmm.
because we're so big. It's because of what they sacrifice in order for us to be here. So, absolutely.
That's right.
You know, in speaking about the women that spoke to you the most, you've actually spoken about how they've turned things around as well. So that question, it's...
Well, I'd say women have contributed in every facet of change,
mm-hmm.
starting with abolition and obtaining the right to vote, arguing for family planning. Women have worked in the home, on the farm, taken traditional work of men in war times in factories. We've served in the military.
Absolutely.
We've flown in outer space. We've served in public office. And just recently, we had a woman run for president.
Absolutely. Though she was not the first, Shirley Chisholm was the first.
Okay. I truly believe the world will be a much better place when we have this balanced division of power.
Absolutely.
If you want to use that word.
No. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. So equal division in the home, the workplace, and the government, and the judicial system. We need both perspectives.
Yes.
And I do live in a country where women do have more power. Mm-hmm. I think Gro Harlem Brundtland, she was in the 80s the first... I can't say she was the first female prime minister, but she had almost entirely female cabinet.
Okay.
And it was her cabinet that got through the maternity leave that we now today so generously have in Norway, which is 1 year.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With pay. And, a few years back, Time magazine had a cover story. Where it was two toddlers, a little boy and a little girl, and they had done whole cover story was about that people have actually done research and found out that there is a difference between boys and girls. And I thought to myself, boy, my grandmother could have told them that. You don't have to do a lot of research to understand that there is a difference between the sexes.
Right.
But I do think it's not that tremendously much difference between men and women, and we need to celebrate also those differences. We need the balance of both sexes. And that's why it's very important that women are coming more and more into power. And men have been running this world for 1,000 years. And it's our turn to step up and take over more authority.
So, Christina, what have you learned from the research that you've done thus far?
Well, what I've learned from the research is it's one striking thing that you see amongst all of these women is that when they speak out, they actually become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And activism in and of itself seems to generate power, and it can also become contagious.
Mm.
And I never thought of that quite before, but it's true. Just look at the Me Too movement now and the momentum gained by the recent tragic deaths that we had in Parkland. So activism can generate power, and it can become contagious.
Absolutely. Contagious power.
And the other thing that I learned is the change certainly does not occur overnight, but rather for generations. But laws can impede or excel change. John Adams, who's one of the first 12 presidents that didn't have a slave, stated that our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate governments of others. So in other words, we need laws and legislation. And we're back to the same point, but even though we have the Civil Rights Amendment and we have it in the Constitution, we still need these laws to be passed. And it takes time. It's just amazing how much time it actually takes.
Mm.
But in 1964, at my university, LBJ came to visit and spoke about the war on poverty and the Civil Rights Amendments, and he promised us students that he would get it passed, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to be at the university there where they started the Head Start program for that section of the United States. And so many good things, including Sesame Street, came out of the Head Start program. So that's takes a long time to get things done, and it takes a long time to improve situations, and we're still not there. It's I think one of the last things I would like to say is Diane Nash again stated that the true change in American society will come from its citizens and not from government officials.
Mm.
So we have to change within ourselves. Our hearts have to change. We have to learn to be responsible and respect others. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
Right. I agree with you totally. I agree with you totally.
And we're going to need that change now.
You know, in order for people to make that change, one way to do it is by voting. and the address where people can sign up to vote.
Okay. Votefromabroad.org.
There you go. Christina, well, thank you so much for joining us.
We can talk again on Skype.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Christina.
You're welcome.
All right.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
War is holy, and sex is obscene. We've got it twisted in this lucid dream. Baptized in boundaries, schooled in sin, divided by difference, sexuality and skin. So we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked in. Yeah, we can hate each other and fear each other. We can build these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself locked in, yourself locked. Oh, sex was holy and war was obscene, and it wasn't twisted. What a wonderful dream. Living for love, unafraid of the end. Forgiveness is the only real revenge. Feel each other, we can break these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself open, yourself open. Yeah, we can heal each other and feel each other. We can break these walls between each other, baby, blow by blow and brick by brick. Keep yourself open, you're open.
If you'd like to find out more about Democrats Abroad and Democrats Abroad's Global Black Caucus, you can find us online at www.democratsabroad.org. There you can find out more also about voting from abroad and the Global Black Caucus. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Find exclusive episodes of our podcast on Podomatic at GBCP2P at Podomatic.com. Remember to register to vote at votefromabroad.org. And as always, there's more to come from Power to the People.
We should give life to this beautiful dream. 'Cause peace and love ain't so far. If we nurse our wounds before they scar.